Welcome to the Rainmaker Podcast, where we elevate marketing leaders inside and out. I'm your host, Veronica Romney, master marketer, executive leader, and mentor to ambitious marketing leaders wanting to advance their careers. Each episode is filled with genuine, unscripted conversations with some of the world's top marketing experts, accomplished leaders, and industry trailblazers representing brands, both large and small. Our goal with this podcast and everything we do is to help you master your role, nurture your team, prioritize your well-being, and evolve into an industry-leading rainmaker. This is the Rainmaker Podcast. This is the special two-part solo episode. Remember in our last Rainmaker Podcast, I told you I was going to do two solo episodes all around the same theme of helping you stand out, promote yourself within, or sell yourself on the digital streets of the marketplace if you happen to be a marketing entrepreneur. And so this episode is actually inspired yet again from another private Rainmaker conversation where I was coaching, but it also actually ties in my personal story of what it was like for me when I also left my employer as a W-2 and went back into the marketplace as a marketing contractor, right? Someone for hire using the skill that I've acquired over now at this point, 15, 16 plus years. And so I want to talk about selling not just any offer, because I feel like marketers are really good at that. We're really good at selling other people's stuff, but I want to talk about selling ourselves. And that can feel really yucky to imagine yourself on the digital street corner, kind of like hoping that somebody notices you and wants to hire you. It feels really, really awkward. Let's just put it that way. So we're really like, as a marketer, it's really fun. And there's certainly a challenge in trying to put, you know, the right wrapping paper on a brand new product, a new offer, and put it out there in the marketplace and like have it be a smashing success. But what about what it's like when we have to sell ourselves? That's where it gets really tricky, right? Now, I'm going to give you the same advice that I would give. So if you're a marketer who's wanting to sell private clients or you're wanting to get a new job, right? Because you have to still sell yourself that way too. I want to first do a reframe. First of all, nothing in marketing is black and white. There is no do or die. We are in the business of improvement. We are not gamblers. We do not throw things out there and see what happens. We don't make stupid decisions or chances on whims. Like, we're scientists, we're pros. We are figuring out what the initial thing should be. And then we go into hypothesis mode. We're open to lots of possibilities. We're not scared to see how things may need to shift or change as we go through the testing process. Like, I feel like marketers are in a constant state of validation. Like, we are always validating some element of the marketing journey. So either we're validating the initial marketing message, like the initial hook, we're marketing or validating the wrapping paper on an offer, the terms, the conditions, the container, the unique selling proposition. Like, we're always, always testing. We're always marketing scientists. But this is also true to us. I find that marketers get overly attached to our own offers because you are the offer. So how can you not take it personal when it's literally you and your personal services and your personal brain that somebody's hiring you for? So like, I get it, but we get really attached to our own making when we're the ones being sold versus when, you know, you're selling somebody else's product. You don't have that same level of attachment and your identity is also not like wrapped up in the bow of it. Okay. Now, it will never serve you to have your hopes and dreams crushed in this identity cyclone. It's all about learning, adapting, and selling. So we're holding everything lightly, and we're going to lean in and enjoy the process of being scientists. Nothing is a failure. We are always testing. We are always learning. And we're always leaning into what the marketplace is telling us because nothing's actually personal, right? And if they're really coming for you and your kids, just block them and we're done. Like, honestly. Now, I know firsthand how scary it can be to need income, to need clients. There's been a couple different points in my career where I was fully employed and then I left in my own choosing, or I was fully employed and the circumstances were such that I need to get the hell out. Like, I've been through it all, you guys. And when I left a significant chief of staff position, I was terrified. I'm very fortunate that my husband also works, but like, we're a dual income household. And I don't know about you, but raising kids ain't cheap. So like, as much as, you know, my husband had income coming in the door, there was no point for me that I was like, well, I can just coast. Like, there's no way. And so like, the initial fear and kind of panic, definitely you could feel it. I can even feel it like telling you the story again, because it's so real, right? And again, I left of my own choosing. Like, it was one of those situations, but it doesn't matter, because that kind of anxiety that comes up in your chest when it's time for you to leave and cut the safety net is very real. Even if you have savings in the bank, even if you think you'll be fine, it like all the logic goes out the window. Let's be honest, right? So I knew I needed to replace my income to support my family. And here I was out here on my own. Look at me, go me. But I was like an emotional wreck, okay? An absolute emotional wreck. But this is why marketers should never be like in isolation. Marketers should never operate in isolation. It's probably one of the deadliest sins or gravest failures for a marketer is when you have marketers who work in isolation. Marketers are both art and science. We're creative geniuses. We're smart, you know, smart creatives. And you never stifle a creative. You never hide a genius. And you certainly shouldn't work in isolation if you want to have your best work come forward in the world. Okay. So I do what I always advise our own members and our aspiring marketers. I phoned a friend. It's what you do. It's why communities are so valuable. So I had a friend and a fellow brilliant business owner, Adrian, who is absolutely in my corner. And she had already gone through this scenario, what, a year or two before me, where she left a position that was paying her not just six figures, you guys, seven figures. She left a seven figure position out of like a disagreement over what it means to be integral and possess and execute integrity with the company. So I reached out to her, my emotional wreck, which is what we do. And of course, she's the kind of friend that's going to give me the tough love, help me get my stuff together. And then she was just really clear, because I was like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Like, do I like run ads? Do I do that? Like, I went into like marketing mode as if I'm still marketing something for a corporation or here. And she's like, no, you don't do, hello. She's like, you just do one thing and one thing only. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, guerrilla marketing. When you're putting yourself out there for the very first time, even if you've done it before, if you're back in the marketplace or you're even considering flirting with the idea of leaving one employer to do your own thing, that first client or the first, what, five clients, 10 clients, those first initial sources of revenue will not come from fancy marketing. Before the internet, it was just relationships. And I think sometimes as marketing professionals, we forget the fundamentals and the basics because there's so much new technology that's at our fingertips. There's so many new things that can make it more efficient. But sometimes in the pursuit of efficiency, we forget like the core, true, tried fundamentals that is all good marketing and sales, which is basically open up your phone and your contacts list and your emails, and your first 5 to 10 clients will come from the people that you know. So like all of those other marketing tools, podcasts, social media ads, they can always come later, and they will, because momentum creates more momentum. Revenue makes more revenue. It's like rabbits. Okay. But when you're talking about first putting yourself out there, your first clients will be people you already connected with and know. These are the people who already have given you know, like, and trust. And these are the people, because of the existing relationship equity that you have with them, they're willing to take a chance on you and your services, even if your services aren't fully fleshed out. This is another sticking point. When I am mentoring and coaching a lot of aspiring marketing professionals, they will get hung up on trying to make sure that their new service, their new offer, their new pitch, their new whatever is like airtight and perfect, so that they can have the confidence, they feel like they'll have the confidence to put it out there. And it doesn't work like that. You have people that will work with you even though you're not fully fleshed out, but they know you and they know that no matter what, you'll take care of them. That's what you're banking on. That's the container. That it's like people are paying you to work out your offer. It's unbelievable. They're still getting value, but you're getting paid to build a product in the making. And nobody looks at it that way, but that's really what it is. Like your first couple of clients don't, well, number one, you think they are going to expect perfection and they don't. Number two, if you're upfront, honest, about the fact that like, this is where we'll start. This is a flexible container. Let's see where it goes and keep an open dialogue. They're game for it, especially certain visionary personalities, right? Hey, Rainmakers, it's Veronica, and we'll get back to today's episode. But before that, I have an exciting invitation for all of you aspiring, ambitious marketing leaders. If you are serious about advancing your career in marketing and you're looking for an expert to give you some personal insights, guidance, tips, then I'm going to invite you to schedule a free pathway to promotion call with me. This is a special one-on-one call with just you and me to discuss your current roadblocks in your career, your long-term aspirations and ambition, and the next best step for you and your personal promotion. Head to pathwaycall.com or click the link in my show notes to schedule your free pathway to promotion call. Now back to today's episode. So I want you to think of your first steps in putting yourself out there, promoting yourself, selling yourself as this flexible container. Okay. Your first clients will definitely be people that you know, and they're willing to take a chance on you. And so I'm going to tell you to do right now what I did, what I've done two or three times in my career, every time I go back out to the marketplace to put myself out there in my services, I do this. So first, start with your phone. If you're on texting terms with someone, you're definitely close enough to reach out. Then I go to my personal inbox, not like an email service provider. We're not going to SendGrid or ActiveCampaign. I'm talking about like your Gmail, and you're going to find your clients in there. Now, I love List. I also like and recommend that you keep track of all of these kind of potential contacts and leads in an organized location. So some people will use Asana, some people will use the Remarkable, some people will have a good old-fashioned spreadsheet, whatever is most comfortable to you. But I definitely like to have certain key information. I like to know how I know them, how were they referred to me in the first place, how do they prefer to communicate, are they IG DMers? Are they emailers? Are they texters? Are they phone call? Are they Voxers? Like, you want to obviously communicate in the channel of their preference. And which of the things or which of my skill sets could they really benefit the most? I like to connect with them on the social platforms. I just like to have all of those key information pieces at my fingertips because I'm going to go through this fast. Okay. Now, all of these details will obviously help you serve them and kind of tailor your pitch to their needs. But you can just get started with a list of names of people who fit one of these two criteria. One, they could potentially be your client, or two, they can refer you to a client. So don't count them out if they won't directly buy from you or work with you, but they will be a 1 degree separation from somebody who could work with you and buy from you, and they'll be your biggest walking testimonial. So once you have your people to reach out to, you're going to grab yourself some caffeine. I tend to rotate between Celsius, Zoa, which I think is the Rocks brand, Zip Fizz, which you can pick up at Costco, and like some popcorn and a snack. And you're just going to plug away and reach out to them. And it's tedious at first. It takes time, but it works every single time. And you can say something as simple like, hey, I'm doing a new thing and I want to tell you about it because I think you could help. I could help you, or you might know someone who can benefit from me. And then I want you to include a super clear one sentence description of what you're doing. And if you want to talk to me about it or know someone who needs this right now, let me know. But like, you have to tell people that you're open for business symbolically. We want to also focus on the fact that this is new. I can't stress this enough because I know that you've heard this before, like, oh, just here's a script to reach out to somebody in DMs. Like, you can Google that, you can ChatGPT that. But I'm going to add a dimension that has always worked for me really, really well, which is novelty sells. The novelty, the psychology of novelty is that people love new things. New restaurant, tell me about it. New boyfriend, say more. What? Like, there's something really sexy about novelty, of doing something brand new and being the first person to know about said new thing, right? The people that you're reaching out to will feel excited. They'll feel special because it's like you plug them into a secret of your availability before everyone else knows about it yet. So I often actually don't even post on like broad channels, like social media or whatever, until I reach out to my private list first to tell them before anybody else. And I make sure that they know they're being told before anybody else, right? This is like relationship equity. This is a privileged position. This makes them feel special. They're hearing about it first, and they're the first ones to take you up on it. Now, once one or two people take you up on it, you can see what they need, where they're struggling, and how your services or new offers specifically solve their problem and fills their need. Guerrilla marketing will get you in front of so many trusted contacts, giving you a preview of how your offer will perform in the wider marketplace in general. So the next thing you want to do is just make it really easy for people to refer you. So one of the things that I try to do is I scout out people who are what we consider well-positioned to refer you to their existing audiences or expand your reach, right? We're still not going public with your offer. You've booked maybe hopefully at this point a client or two or maybe five and you're done through your personal network. But now you want to go a little bit further and expand your reach through strategic referral sources. So I want you to pay attention to people or groups of people that are best suited to serve and see who influences them. Find the people who have audiences of your ideal client types and see how you can get in front of them or how they already promote other people or other thought leaders or other friends and other colleagues. As you're seeking out some of these referral sources, don't be surprised if some of them turn into actual clients. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've reached out to a friend to tell them like, hey, Kathy, I haven't told many people about this, but starting in January, I'm actually going to take on one or two private clients. And I know that you know good people and good people recommend good people. And so I wanted to tell you first, because if there's somebody that you really care about that you know really needs my help in marketing, like their marketing's really struggling, then I want you to make sure that they know that this is available to them before the spots get taken up and then I can't help your friend. What happens 50% of the time is even though I told this person on the consideration of somebody they care about, the middleman will be like, well, but shoot, I need that. So then they'll ask you, well, wait, why are you giving it to my friends? And I've had this happen to me. I can't tell you how many times they'll say things like, well, do you not want to work with me? How come you didn't offer that to me first? I'm like, well, I didn't even know that you were struggling. I just didn't think that you needed me because I got the impression that you were fine. And then they're like, I'm not fine. And then they divulge. They're like, oh, I'm not fine. And I could really use you. So like that actually happens 50% of the time, like every time. Just don't ever assume what people need. That's why we're out here testing the waters and seeing what works. But that's also why it's so powerful to like put yourself out there without too much precious attachment. Because you actually don't know where the client will come from. Your job, it's like almost like an ethical obligation, is just to tell the world that you can help somebody do something with your skills and experience. Okay, last tip. Finally, once you start getting referrals and clients and leads from your network and things like that, we obviously want to make sure that we are saying thank you. Like, I'm a huge fan of sending modest gifts, over the top gifts, depends on the person, anything from a sugar wish to Farm Girl Flowers or Starbucks on Me or Bok Fox or was it Fox Box? One of those. There's so many really cool online gifting services. Like snappy.com is one of my favorite because you just put in a budget and then they can choose the gift of their choice in that budget. Like there's a lot of cool things that are out there now that makes people feel really seen and appreciated. And remember, a lot of people's love language is gifts. Or the gift is actually a form of service. So let's say you dinner on me and you give them an Uber Eats gift card or a DoorDash, right? It's a big deal to me when people trust me enough to refer their people my way. And I honestly believe that a gesture like a gift is a non-negotiable. So ready? Are we ready to get out there and test our new offers and just ask our friends and put ourselves out there and see how the market responds? To quickly recap, I want to just share the quick, like kind of five highlights. One, I want you to detach yourself from the process and hold your new offer, your new services with open hands and a willingness to see what happens. Two, screw public announcements. You're going to start with your personal network. Reach out to people you know who either could use you directly or could refer you to someone they care about that could use you. Three, I want you to create a clear, compelling, new, exciting kind of explanation. Remember novelty. Of what you do that would make it easy for them to tell people what it is that you do in a new, exciting, sexy way, right? Like again, emphasis on new. I want you to then, step four is keep building on that initial referral network and get in front of other people's ideal audiences. And five, I want you to say thank you with gifts and appreciation and make people feel seen. Testing a new offer, putting yourself back out there can be tedious at the beginning, especially when you're going through all of your contacts, but it's actually really exciting. With enough Celsius in your system, it will be fine. So when you follow these tips and put in the work, you will absolutely 100% land new clients that will pay you. And not only are they paying you, but they're paying you to like finesse and perfect your new services and offer, which is like the greatest thing ever. So remember, you are worth promoting. You are worth the sale and you are your best product. And by extension, if you don't have the most conviction behind what you can do, how can you expect somebody to pay you if you don't even believe in your own self? Until next time, my Remaker family, peace. Thank you for joining us on today's Remaker podcast. Marketers help other marketers. So if there's a marketer in your life who could really use a new perspective in a way that helps them advance their career, please pass this episode forward, share, like, leave us a review. Everything helps as we embark on helping as many marketers elevate themselves inside and out. You can always visit veronicarami.com for today's show notes, additional links to some free resources and tools for you to help you advance your career. You can always connect with us on social media at @VRami if you want more behind the scenes or a way for us to connect personally. Until next time, my friends, make it rain.